I'm excited you're here to launch our new series we're beginning today called The 3 Days to Resurrection. And we take a look at kind of these last days of Jesus' life as he prepares for his greatest ministry at the cross and the resurrection, which was really his greatest miracle. And the day we believe that he stuck a stake in the ground and said, I am king forever. And what we're so excited about celebrating that this year. It's always a special time for us. And we're really looking forward to it this year, just what that day could be. And not just what God did in the past, but what God is still doing today and what he can still do. And we're going to invite you in this series to be a part of that. I just want to take a minute before I begin. We always like to welcome our online viewers who are here with us. And they might not be in the room, but they watch. And I know there's a few, Tim's mom I wanted to say hey to, and Teresa's mother who is in the hospital. Both of them are in the hospital, weren't able to make it. And we got text messages say, make sure you know I'm watching. So we just want to say hey and thanks for joining. It's such an awesome opportunity to join together as a church family in so many different avenues. So again, we're at this series about 3 days to resurrection, and what this is about and what our hope is for the whole series is that it kind of acts as a map, both for the life of Jesus, where we kind of recognize the story of Jesus and get a greater understanding of what his path was to the cross, his greatest moment of ministry, what that path was, his greatest moment of purpose, and as well, not just understanding the map of Jesus' path, but also what we believe is we hope this series really becomes a map for us because we believe that, you know, Jesus' life is a pattern or a path for us to follow. It's a path that we follow in our own spiritual journey, and so we hope to kind of bring that to life as we study Jesus in those last days and kind of discover some things about our journey as well. Maps are great tools, and, you know, they can be used to let you know where you're headed or let you know where you are, you know, a you are here moment with a map, or they can sometimes let you know what you just went through, and maps are great tools, but really, a lot of it has to do with whoever is in charge of the map or whoever is using the map, and personally, I don't have a good relationship with maps, specifically with the map on my phone. Siri controls, and she believes that she has the ultimate say in everything. And so we have a pretty rough relationship, and we have many experiences throughout the week where she's wrong and I'm right, but then she ends up being right anyway. So there's a few months ago, Pastor Travis, another one of our pastors, and I, we were headed up to D.C. For a training, and we left Richmond at 6 a.m. to make it to a training that started at 10 a.m. And any of y'all know who've made that drive that we still didn't plan for enough traffic. And so, sure enough, we get up past the 495 interchange, and we're headed to Union Station, and about 7 miles out, we get stopped in dead traffic. And it's not Hua, that's right. Marines wouldn't know what to say to that one. So we're stopped, and we're sitting there, and you know, if you ever use your GPS on your phone, and they've got that little ETA clock, and it just kept creeping, you know, a little bit closer to 10, and a little bit closer to 10, And so I'm freaking out. We got to figure out what to do, and I've got to be there at the start. That's just my thing. So we're looking around, and I take the map. You know, I turn the Siri off, and I'm like zooming in and out. And I'm in my 30s now, so I have to zoom a little bit more than I used to. And I'm trying to find, is there some other way? You know, and so I find this road that looks like it kind of squirrels around 395, and maybe I could, you know, make it, cut some time. And so I'm trying to get Siri, right? This is a forever problem. I'm trying to get Siri to recognize what I want it to do, and that doesn't work. So I'm trying to get her to see this route, and she just says, no, just stay on the path you're on. Well, the exit's coming up for this self-discovered shortcut, and I decided, you know, we're just going to go for it. So we take off. We're cruising, man. There's no traffic. We're zooming through lights. I mean, it's awesome. And then I miss a turn. And I'm in the middle of somewhere. I think we were in Maryland, and I was, you know, I don't know what happened, and we got to get to where we're going. And so I had to come back to Siri and apologize for the things I said. I had to confess my issues. And you know what she did? The nerve. She just said, well, you just need a turn. You know, she didn't even acknowledge my apology. She just started giving out directions. So sure enough, she got us right back on 395, right back in that traffic. And we were trying to avoid the traffic we thought really didn't apply to us. But in the end, we got right back on and we creeped and creeped. And we pretty much got to where we were supposed to be right when she said we were supposed to be there. So maps are great tools. I should have got an Android, yeah. That's another sermon. That's a different illustration. So anyways, maps are great tools, right? But it all depends on the user. And if you think the map applies to you, maybe maps isn't your thing. You know, maybe it's cooking instructions. And maybe the cooking instructions, the recipes just don't apply to you. And the people who eat your meals, they like to call them, you know, meal experiences, because you never get the same thing twice, and you never know exactly what's going to happen at the table. Maybe yours, you're okay with maps, but you're not really good with the instructions for your kid's swing set. And, you know, those safety, you know, regulations just don't apply to your kids. This is a true story. I have a pile of wood in my shed from where we built the swing, and my father and I built it, and it was just like, we don't need all these support beams. These people are too crazy. I mean, we got 6-inch gaps everywhere. Their kids are fine. No, it is true that we do have all that wood still piled up, and eventually, who knows? But, you know, we all kind of have this thing with maps or instructions. We can kind of have this tendency where it's all great, but it just doesn't apply to us. And the map doesn't really have anything to do with us. We're the exception. And I really hope, as we go through these next 3 weeks, as we prepare for Easter, we said we want it to be a map, and I really hope that you don't take that approach, that you don't take the approach to think that this map doesn't apply to you, because I think it does. I think it's important to take a look at these days and really recognize the path that Jesus went. And as I said, here's our hope for you in this series. Here's our hope for what we believe. We believe that Jesus' 3 days to resurrection are your 3 days to resurrection. In the Bible, it says that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead can live inside us. And I believe that obtaining that kind of experience requires us to take a look at the life of Jesus and his path and allow it to be a guide and a paradigm for how we walk and how we walk out our journey. So I'm excited for this series, and I want to make sure that we really take time today to stop and look at the day before the cross for Jesus. But before we do that, I just want to speak to one other group of people. You might be here and you're not a Christian. You don't consider yourself a Christian, or you know, maybe you go to church, but you're not so sure about the Jesus thing or the Bible, and you've got a lot of questions there. Maybe somebody dragged you here. Maybe you got a free lunch offer, and so it was like, hey, all right, I gotta go to church, but I get free lunch. If that's you, I just want to encourage you. Maybe you don't fully believe in Jesus, but I believe that today you can still discover something about his life and something about him that you never knew. And I believe today you can discover something about his position and his stance towards you that you didn't always know. And maybe the God of Jesus is closer to your reality than you ever thought. So I encourage you just to listen, just hang with me as we go through this. And I'm going to take us to that day, the day before the cross. I already mentioned it, and I want to just kind of revisit it, that the cross was Jesus' greatest day of purpose. It was his greatest day of purpose. It was the day, you know, more than any other healing, more than any other miracle he performed, more than anything else, he said it himself. This was the day at the cross. That was his whole reason for coming. It was his greatest day. And the resurrection, it was his greatest day of victory. As I said, it's the day he put a stake in the ground and said, look, I'm king forever. I'm reigning forever. There's not going to be another like this. It was the day he made that statement. It was the day he demonstrated that to the world, that the whole world would know. And that's so powerful. In fact, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that Jesus, he is the king and the priest forever. He's the priest. Another word for the priest is he's a mediator. He's the one who stands between God and man forever, making that connection. No one can take that place that he took. But another thing we see in the Bible is that for anyone who ever was, through all of time, all of God's people, whenever there was someone who became a king or a leader in God's God's people, they first had to go through another day. And that was this day. They had to go through a day of anointing. We see in the Old Testament, there's some great stories that you can read about when two kings were fighting over the throne, and they needed, God would send a prophet and say, I want to anoint this one as king. But what happened is the prophet would go and anoint the one for king and say, look, I'm anointing you for king, but you still got to go have your day of victory. You still got to go fight that battle. You still have to go take the throne. And Jesus even had this experience. That's what makes the day before the cross so powerful. Because the day before the cross, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Garden of Gethsemane was on a mountain outside of Jerusalem. It's this prominent mountain. Everyone knew about it. Everyone knew where it was. It's called the Mount of Olives. And this Garden of Gethsemane, Gethsemane means olive press. And it's literally the place where they would make the oil for anointing. The thing is, there's only one way to make olive oil. You got to crush the olives. In fact, they put the olives in this large basin, and they had another stone that they had cut to be like a wheel, and they put a beam inside it, and they would roll it around in this basin and crush all the olives, and they had to roll it over and over and over. They had to separate the water out. They had to pull the waste out so that all that remained from the crushing was the oil. In fact, there was no way to gain the anointing oil without the crushing. And what's incredible about the day before the cross was that Jesus had this crushing experience. Many of us know the story. In fact, all four gospel writers mention it in their eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. They mention this day before the cross, the day before his greatest moment, the day before his greatest purpose. They mention this day at the garden. And they believe, we can look from their stories and see that this moment actually lasted 3 hours. This moment of crushing that Jesus went through, it lasted 3 hours. But what happened was each one of the gospel writers, they took a different part of the story because they were writing to specific audiences. And what I would like us to do today, I've kind of pulled from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three of the gospel writers, their eyewitness accounts of this moment. I've pulled them together and put them together so that we can see, what I'm hoping is we can see the full experience of Jesus in this moment. Because again, I believe that this day has something to do with your life and with my life and with our path into our greatest moments, our greatest purpose. So I want to take us to that scripture. It's on the front. If you received a bulletin, it's in your handout. I've given you the scripture there, and we're going to walk through that, but I'll also have it on the screen for you. Again, I've kind of taken from the three Gospels, so I encourage you to follow along with me. And let's receive again. Maybe this is a story you're super familiar with, but I encourage you, just read it with fresh eyes, hear it with fresh ears again, and let's see what the Lord would say to us. On your sermon notes, it begins, it talks about the Mount of Olives and Gethsemane, but two sentences in it, I want to start here. It says, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, three of his, in fact, the closest friends he had. He took three of them along with them, and he began to be deeply distressed, look at that language, and troubled. He said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. I think that is incredible. Incredible language. The gospel writers, when they tell this story, they could have told it any other way, but you know what they did? They told it revealing the true humility, just how humble, how intimate, how vulnerable Jesus was. I think it's amazing that we have this story of Jesus who so intimately understands pain and pressure. In fact, if you're like me, sometimes I feel like it's a sin to admit that you feel pressure, or, you know, like you're not supposed to be overwhelmed. You're supposed to be able to see through the storm, you know, or whatever, all the chaos of life. Sometimes you're not supposed to get overwhelmed. You're just supposed to, you know, focus. And yet, that's not the example of Jesus. He's able to fully embrace this moment. He's able to fully embrace human frailty in this moment and admit, no, I am overwhelmed with sorrow. I know there's a weight there. It's true. It's real. I see it. But Jesus just didn't stop there. It's good to admit it. It's good to realize, man, Jesus knows, he knows the deepest pain and pressure you and I could ever experience. He knows what that feels like. And his example, his model in this day was how he responded in that moment, and that's what I want us to look at next. Look at what he does. So, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond his friends, and he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. If you are willing, take this cup from me, this cup. He's talking about the experience of the cross. He knew it was coming. He had told his friends, hey, this day has got to come. If you're willing, take it from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Such powerful words. In fact, as I was praying over this scripture, I wrote this down and I wanted to share it. The evidence of faith is not the absence of pain, but it's the ability to pursue God's will in the midst of it. This is Jesus' day. This is his day of crushing. And he's not ignoring the pain. He's confessing it. He's confessing its weight, but he still chose. Listen, I don't know where you are when you face pain. Sometimes when I feel pressure, it's all about, well, there must be something wrong with me. If this crushing's happening, well, I must have done something wrong, right? Shame, guilt, what are you listening to? What are you pursuing? He doesn't do that. He pursues God's will in the midst of it. He doesn't interpret it. He doesn't define himself because he's experiencing some pressing and some crushing. What he's doing is he's pursuing God's will in the midst of it. That's the power of this day. That's the power of what Jesus experiences and what he models for us. I love how he lays it out. I love how he calls it to, he recognizes what Jesus does, God's will, his purpose is what he's seeking. It's so powerful. And I want us to look at how God answers in this moment, because God does answer, and it says an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. That's found in the Gospel of Luke, and that's it's no other gospel records that there's lots of reasons, and we could spend a lot of time talking about why, but here's what I want you to see. Heaven didn't respond by sending someone to deliver Jesus from his crushing. Heaven sent someone to stand with him and to strengthen him in the midst of his trial. It's amazing. And even after being strengthened, look at the most dramatic moment of this passage, the most crazy words, and being in anguish, Jesus prayed again more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. You know, that's a medical phenomenon that over history has been recorded many times. It happens to those who are experiencing extreme emotional and mental trauma. And here we have Jesus experiencing the deepest pain and pressure. This day is so powerful. This is the scene of the day before the cross. The day of his cross was his purpose, it was his calling, but getting there first meant getting pressed like an olive. Jesus even recognized it. He suffered, but he knew that the suffering had a purpose. It was on this day, it was in this garden, it was in this crushing that Jesus was anointed for his greatest purpose, his moment at the cross. And if you've tuned out, I want you to just pull in for just a minute, because this is why it's so important for you and why it's so important for me. Because Jesus cannot get to Calvary without first going through Gethsemane. That was his path. And his path is a model for my spiritual journey and your spiritual journey. His path to his ultimate purpose is a path that we follow to our ultimate purpose. And there are no shortcuts. Maybe you think the map doesn't apply to you, but I'm telling you, there are no shortcuts. And sure, you and I, we weren't destined to die on the cross for the sins of the world, but you and I were both created for a divine purpose. You and I were created for a divine time. I mean, you could have been born anywhere, you could have been born at any time, but you were picked for today. And If you have Jesus in your life, then you have been redeemed for a purpose that is greater than just you. You've been redeemed to be a messenger of God's reconciliation and his resurrection power in this day and in this age, in this generation. And this is the path. If there's one thing I want you to know this morning, it's this. And actually, I've given you the blank on the back of your outline. I'm real easy on you with blanks. It's this. That God often uses our days of pressure or of pressing to produce anointing for our days of purpose. God often uses our days of pressing to produce anointing for our day of purpose. You know, God may not have put us through our pain and our pressing, but he wants to redeem it. It's what he can do. He wants to put to use what we've been put through. But our response determines God's ability to redeem it. We can't just ignore pain. We can't stuff that moment. Or some of us, we had this season in our life that we've just kind of shut the door to. And in fact, especially to God. God, you can have my life, but you can't have that part. Right? You can touch me, you can use me, I'll do whatever, but don't you dare bring this up. That's not Jesus' model. Who told you that's what Christianity is? Who told you that's what following Jesus looks like? Following Jesus is the ability not to be absent of pain or absent of pressure, but in the midst of it, to be able to still pursue God's will and pursue it, chase after it, ask God, not ask why, but ask God, what do you want to do with this? That's a different question altogether. Even pain from our past, even seasons of crushing from our past, God wants to redeem that and use it for his good. It's part of the story. It's part of the ministry. In fact, we believe that in each one of you, there's a great purpose that God's designed you for. And there's a great ministry that, excuse me, there's a great ministry that only you can do for God's kingdom and in God's story of reconciliation and redemption in this day and age. And you must include the path to that. The path to that purpose isn't around pain. It isn't with a shut door to the pressure. It's the path. There's no way to get to Calvary without going through Gethsemane. And I want to just take a moment to speak to some of you who are today, you're here today, and actually today you're like, it is the day of crushing. You're in the middle of this season. Some of you, it's been longer than a day. In fact, that's an insult to hear it's just been a day. It's been too long. It's been years. And you thought you had to be defined by your day of crushing. But that's not how your God responded. And that's not how your God is leading you either to walk through this day. I believe that there's no mistake too big for God. There's no pressure too big for God. There's no pain too deep for God to touch and to heal and even to use for his greater good. It's amazing what God can do when we surrender our day of pressing to him. That this day of crushing, this day of pressing in our lives can become a day where we discover and we pursue God's will and we discover a greater purpose and fulfillment that we couldn't have had otherwise. I want to just show you one other thing. The Apostle Paul talks about this with one of his churches. The Apostle Paul was another one of Jesus' eyewitness, eyewitness of Jesus' life. And he was writing to churches, and he wrote about this very thing to one of his churches, and this is how he said it. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those," check it, "who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we have received from God." You know, the idea of comfort and God's comfort in the Bible, it's never separated from God's presence. And it was amazing as I was studying this and I was looking and, you know, I honestly kind of wrestled like, God, what was the day of Gethsemane about for Jesus? Why didn't you deliver him? Or what was this about? And the whole thing about the angel that was sent, that it wasn't, God didn't send a deliverance, but he sent a presence to be with Jesus in that moment, to stand with him, to see him through that day, to see him through those 3 hours of crushing, of this immense emotional and mental trauma he experienced. God sent his presence. And God sends his presence to us. And when we release, and actually when we turn over our pain and our pressing, our days of pain, we can find God in the midst of that, who a God who is there. We all love the stories, man. We love the stories of God's immediate deliverance, his immediate healing. But sometimes God doesn't send a deliverer. He sends someone to stand with us. And we have those stories. And Paul talks about those stories. And I love the way that the Message version translates this passage, because it captures that whole sense of God's presence. It says it like this. I've given it to you in your handout. God comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us along someone else who's going through hard times. So we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us. What could God do if you surrendered your day of crushing and your day of pressing and pursued his will in that place? What could he do? There's this family that was in Holland during the Second World War, and there were five of them in a home, and they were Christians. And they used their home as a refuge for Jews who were escaping the Nazis. In fact, the stories are told that they helped about 800 Jews actually escape the Nazi oppression. Powerful story. But one of those 800 was an informant. And they turned this family over to the Nazis. And this family of five, they all were arrested and sent to concentration camps. Five of them went to the concentration camps. Only one survived. And the two sisters, Betsy and Corey, they went together. They went to Ravensbrück, or so some German pronunciation of that, outside of Berlin. It's infamous for just what that camp did and how brutal they were to those in that camp. And these two sisters, Christians, had a strong faith in the Lord. The whole time they were there, they had a strong faith and hope in Jesus. And they even actually ended up evangelizing and leading so many to Christ during that time. It's incredible stories about their experience there. The two sisters, Betsy and Corey. Betsy was the one who died. And just a few days, literally just a few days before Betsy died, she turned to her sister Connie, and they had experienced such trauma, such horror, humiliation. They're crushing the pressure, the weight of their experience, the ability to have hope in a moment like that. She turned to her sister and she said, "Listen, we have got to continue to tell people about Christ." And here's how she said it. She said, "Because there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still." She said, "They will listen to us because we are here." Just days later, Betsy died. And just days later, there was a clerical mishap on the part of the Nazis, and Corey was released, miraculously released. There's no explanation for why she got out. She was out. People were still in the camps, and she had this moment where she realized, this day is a miracle. I've got life for a purpose. There's no way I should be alive right now. And she began to ask God, "Why did you bring me back? What is the purpose?" And you know what she discovered? This line right here. She told the world, she ended up saying, "This is the line that will define my life forever." It started with one-on-one conversations with other survivors. She began to talk about the fact that there's no pit so deep, no pain so deep that we've experienced, that he is not deeper still. And the powerful thing was, what started as one-on-one conversations turned into more and more people hearing her stories and her getting more and more opportunities to share that. And she over 33 years, visited 60 countries proclaiming the message of reconciliation, that was the way that you got over the psychological trauma you went through. Her name is Corrie Ten Boom. She was a best-known author. She's written dozens of books. Told her stories. You can read her stories about the times after, later, years later, when she would meet some of those who had imprisoned her, the very guards. She saw them. She knew their face. and how God worked in those moments to bring reconciliation. Corrie Ten Boom went through an extreme crushing, but it didn't define her. Instead, she sought God's purpose with it, and she was able to fulfill an incredible purpose. Incredible. So I'll ask you again, what could you do if you surrendered your day of pressing to God? How could he use it? How could he redeem it? What could happen if you opened that day back up to God and said, okay, I'll let you come and start to heal and start to redeem, start to restore? I want to give you two practical ways I really want you to consider, and I want to challenge you to take from this message what this is about. And this is one. I want to ask you, when you think about your day of pressing, I want you to share your story this Easter with someone. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to share your story. I think some of you know who that person is. They're at your work or at school, or they're in your family, and they just need to know your story. Some of us, we live in houses with people who don't know our story. We've kind of shut that day off to God. God can't talk about this, but other people don't know about it either. And yet, there's a day that needs to be known. It needs to be healed and redeemed. God can use it as a day, turn it into a day of anointing for greater purpose. And I want to encourage you, share that story. Share that story. Allow God to use you to bring comfort to someone else who's going through a tough time. Again, I think God's already brought you alongside someone for that. And what I'm going to ask is, I want you to share it. I want you to invite them to come to Easter Sunday with you. And please hear me. This isn't about a service or a Sunday or a church. I just want to challenge you. Let's not celebrate what God did in the past on Easter. Let's celebrate what God can do now and here this Easter. Let's be a part of that. I want you to experience Easter not just by yourself. I want you to experience Easter with someone who's experiencing it for the first time. I want to encourage you to share your story. In fact, when you leave today, you'll receive some handouts, just some invites, cards we have for our Easter service. I encourage you, take one, take a few, and begin to pray about how you can share your story. The second thing is this. For some of you, I want to challenge you to consider starting a small group this spring. The week after Easter, we're actually launching our new spring small groups as a church. And again, it's not about a program. It's not about that. It's about you being a part of helping someone else discover the comfort of God. That's what it's about. And some of you know your story, you might be able to share it one-on-one, but some of you know it's going to take a few weeks to get that story out, right? I encourage you to pray about that. What would it look like if you started a small group, if you brought two other couples into your home, and you guys just began praying together and began talking about the days of pressing you've been through, you begin talking about the day of pressing you're in now, and see what comfort God could bring. I want to challenge you to do that. Because there is no day of crushing and no day of pressing that our God can't redeem. Amen. Would y'all stand with me? I want us to close this morning, and I'm going to pray, but before I do that, I just want you to open up your heart, and I want to kind of lead us in a quick response to this this message. And if you would, just kind of bow your head. It's nothing religious about it. I just want you to open your heart and not focus on me or focus on anything else. I just want you to just kind of focus on the Lord, what he may want to speak to your heart. And I just want to lead some of us in responding to God's word today. First, I just think there's some who, maybe you are here today and you're in the middle of your day of crushing. And I believe God wanted you to be here today to hear this so that you could hear you're not alone. You're not walking alone. That he's closer than you know. Maybe you're not in your day of crushing, but you know exactly what that moment is. You could spell it out, and 3 hours is nothing. You could tell a great story about a crushing and a pressure. And I believe God wanted to bring you here to let you know you weren't alone. He was closer than you knew. He knows what pain and pressure feel like. He knows what you went through. And maybe you've never really allowed him to touch that place in your life, or you've never even given him the chance to speak into it. And today, I believe he wants to do that. And he wants to speak and move. He's a good father that you can trust. But your response determines if he can redeem and heal that place. I believe today God can start that. He can start that process. And I want to be a part of acknowledging that day and starting that day with you. And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand that I can pray with you and believe. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Amen. Come on, church, would you pray with me? Let's just believe for God to be in this place. God, we ask you to come to these hearts that have opened up, some for the first time in years, to you. And I pray that your presence would come and bring a comfort and a peace that only your presence can bring. God, I pray for the ways that the day of crushing defines some of them, Lord, that you would remove that and immediately speak your words of truth and your words of love, that there was no pit that was deeper than you. God, there is no mistake that you can't redeem and you can't overcome. And I pray that that would be the word you would speak to them. Lord, come by your presence, Lord. I don't want to end today without just asking one other question. I want to talk to those of you, maybe you've never, not once, have you opened your heart to Jesus. Maybe you've gone to church all your life. You've always known about Christianity, but you've never really allowed Jesus to lead your life. He's just been kind of on the side. And maybe God brought you here today because he wanted you to see that he's a God who knows you. Maybe you thought that he was indifferent. He didn't care. But today he wants you to know that he knows you and he cares for you. And the Bible says that it's real easy to begin a trust relationship with God. All we've got to do is open our heart and confess and say, Jesus, I just want you to come in, and I don't know how this works, but I'm willing to give you a shot. You know, the word try is the biggest faith word in the English language. And some of you today just need to try and give God a chance. If that's you this morning, I just want to pray with you. And just with every eye bowed, because I don't want to make a moment, but I just want it to be something for you, that's something I can partner with you. If that's you and you need to make that decision today, would you just lift your hand and I could pray with you? Awesome. Awesome. And just pray that in your heart. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to take that step, just pray this in your heart with me. Jesus, today we just give you our lives. Jesus, today I give you control and I let go of bitterness and of trying to handle things my own way. God, I turn from my way and I run to you. Would you come inside me? Lord, would you be my Savior and would you be my leader? Would you fill me so that I can have the power to live in your presence and in your purpose for the rest of my life? God, we thank you. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for the assurance of your comfort and your presence today. Lord, we just give you honor and glory, Jesus. We are amazed at who you are. We are amazed at what you modeled to us on this day. And Lord, may we be able to walk with your strength and follow your example in our days of crushing. Lord, we commit all this to you, praying your prayer. Would you pray the Lord's Prayer with me as we close? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So glad you were here for this first week. We will be in part 2 next Sunday. Hope to see you there.